And now it's time to chat nutrition. We talked to Anetsi on this Thursday morning about sugar and the brain. Very sweet. Anetsi, good morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And thank you very much for joining us. The topic for today, sugar and the brain. I'm guessing not all is good.
No, definitely not all is good. So I thought about, you know, people think like, why do we really crave sugar, number one? And then also how it affects our mood and our focus and our energy. So as we know, sugar comes in many forms. Obviously, we have glucose, fructose, sucrose, and lactose. But in the end, all of these is really a carbohydrate. And this is what our body uses for energy. And so also, this is the one of the main fuel sources for our brain. So you can almost say like your brain also becomes hungry. Mm. And this is because your brain is very rich in nerve cells and neurons. And your brain is the most energy demanding organ in okay. your body. And then the main fuel source then for your brain will be glucose. So almost 20% of all the energy that our body needs gets utilized by the brain, and the macronutrient that the brain mostly uses will be carbohydrate. So, you know, I always think sometimes carbohydrates in general get such bad publicity in you know, if we're in the news in terms of there's low carb diets and there's this and this that you're supposed to do. But what we have to remember is that our brain is still need the carbohydrate is still the main source of energy for our brain.
Right, right. And so, as you say, the energy source, that's what kind of drives everything that, you know, your brain does.
Yes. So our brain functions such as thinking and memory and learning is very closely linked to the glucose levels and how efficiently the brain uses this fuel source for energy. So if there's not enough glucose in the brain, then your brain's chemical messenger system are not properly produced. And then sort of your communication between the neurons will be a little bit slower. So you might find that you might be a little bit more forgetful. So the secret really for us is to have a steady, moderate amount of glucose. Uh-huh. You don't really want the roller coaster effect. And even in terms of the GI diet, we talk about witch's hat, and you don't want those spikes in terms of glucose when it comes to brain function either. So if you think about when you eat something sweet, whether it might be a sweet or a donut or even a something as a white slice of bread, which is obviously a refined carbohydrate, the brain responds with a big rush of dopamine. So that's that feel-good chemical and sort of that moment when you put that piece of chocolate in your mouth.
Yes.
But the problem is that dopamine is a bit tricky. So the more you flood your brain with sugary food, the less sensitive it becomes to that dopamine. So therefore, you will actually crave sugar more and more and more. There is a little bit of truth in the fact that the more sugar you eat, the more you want. It's because of that, the dopamine response in your body. So, and then the other thing that people always mention that they are on a sugar rush, and would say they felt that their blood sugar sort of crashed. Sort of use those terms. But what it really means is that when your blood glucose spikes, so the natural response in the body would be that your pancreas produces insulin, and it's insulin's responsibility to manage blood glucose levels in our body. But then, unfortunately, sometimes when we eat a lot of refined or added sugars, what happens is the body releases too much insulin, and it actually causes a drop in your blood glucose levels. So your blood glucose levels go a little bit lower than what it's supposed to be. And when that happens, you have a feeling of, you might feel tired, or people use the term slump. they sort of you go into an afternoon slump. They might feel irritable. People will complain about, they might even feel a little bit anxious or brain foggy. But that's really when your brain does not have enough energy. So there's not enough glucose supply to your brain. And then what happens is it sends a distress signal to the body that says, please give me more sugar so that I can function again. Uh-huh. And then what happens is we grab for something sweet. And then unfortunately, this whole cycle starts all over again. So you are constantly riding your roller coaster with up, down, up, down. And for some people, it can basically cause mood swings. It definitely got an influence on how you can focus and concentrate. And some people might even have a slight anxiety feeling or depressed feeling when they are in that moment. So the secret really is, when it comes to your mood and concentration, and 2 weeks ago I also spoke about the hangry moment, is that we have to actually try and make sure that our glucose levels stay constant throughout the day. And I think the secret then is to go back to the basics of consuming sort of low glycemic index type foods, because that's got a constant release of glucose. And then unfortunately, studies shows that added sugars, so if we talk about sugar in general, mostly added sugars, so when you add a lot of sugar or you eat a lot of stuff that's got added sugar into it, it can actually influence your brain function over time. So it can create memory problems. It also reduces the neuroplasticity of your brain, so your brain becomes less adaptable. It might increase your risk for dementia and Alzheimer's. And chronic sugar intake in general causes a lot of inflammation in the body, which then creates oxidative stress, but then also for the brain, unfortunately, has got an impact on the mental ability that you have. So I think, again, it's very important to be aware. Maybe you don't add a lot of sugar to your food, but you maybe buy products that has got a lot of added sugar. So again, it'll be very important for us to look at how much added sugar in the products that we use at home, maybe in cereals, or if you're a very saucy person or whatever else, read the label for those hidden sugars that we have there. Because if we look at the World Health recommendation, they actually say that added sugar shouldn't be more than 10% of your total calories and daily calories. And actually, ideally, if you can get it right, we must aim for 5% of added sugar should be from total calories.
Okay.
And one interesting thing also in terms of brain function and sugar, if you think about diabetes as a as diabetics, very important for them to actually control their blood glucose levels and not run on a constant high in terms of glucose, because it's got a direct impact over time on your brain function also the microvascular blood flow supply in our body. So very important to monitor your blood glucose levels. So I thought maybe to give a few tips. Maybe there's some people out there that, like, I'm that guy that crave for the sugar stuff. And I think the first place to start is to actually say, okay, that's me, that craves for sugar on a regular basis. But I think the other question you should ask yourself is, why do you crave that sugar? So do you crave the sugar because you're stressed? Maybe you're a stress eater, and if you eat lots of sugar, that's how you cope with it. You're just bored, or maybe it's just a habit. So I think very important to ask yourself, why do you do it? And then try to get to the root of it, and then sort of work with the root and see if you can do something about it. And the secret really is, not to go cold turkey. I always, if people ask me about running, I say, please don't go and run 5 kilometers today
straight
if
away.
It's the first time in your life that you're running, because you will never want to run again. But it's the same sort of with the sugar habits, is try to reduce your sugar intake gradually. So maybe some people drink 8 cups of sugar in all of them. So this week, just go 3 teaspoons, and yes, maybe next week you aim for 2. So gradually decrease your sugar intake. And I think when it comes to maybe in terms of energy levels, the secret really would be a balanced meal. So if you can get it right to sort of have high fiber, a little bit of protein and a little bit of fat in a meal, this will create a slow release of glucose. So number one, there will be a constant supply of glucose. Your brain will be able to function, and you as a person will not necessarily be that hungry or have that glucose dip and then crave for something sweet. So that meal will actually carry you to your next meal. And then if in your next meal, if you repeat having your carbohydrates, your protein and a little bit of fat, this will help you on during the day to make sure that your energy levels and your glucose levels are sort of constant. And then if you crave sweet things, I think go for things that's naturally sweet, maybe like fresh fruit or maybe even some dried fruit, but some natural sugars, something that's not have added sugar. And something that's got a very, very big impact on sugar cravings as well is actually how much we sleep and how much how we manage our stress levels. Because the minute you are tired and stressed, your brain will crave for that quick energy, which will be in the form of sugar. So you want to eat something sweet, but actually your body is just trying to replenish itself because you didn't get enough rest. And then also you can't really manage your stress levels, and you will naturally crave sweet things. So if we can get it right to sleep enough, we actually sort of unconsciously, we actually help ourselves not to crave for the sweet stuff.
Okay. And you were also talking there about, you know, reducing your sugar, let's say in tea and coffee, because like salt, your taste buds kind of adapt over time. So, you as you say, you slowly reduce it, your taste won't, your taste will adapt. And your body will thank you.
Yes, and it's actually quite amazing how quickly it happens if you just reduce the amount of sugar intake. Before you know it, when you taste that sweet cup of coffee again, it will almost be like, oh, did I ever drink my coffee like this, So so the positive thing and the good news is that it really happens quickly, and it is very possible. And then the other tip for sugar cravings is sometimes you feel like you want to eat something sweet, but you actually might just be a little bit dehydrated. So maybe just drink that glass of water, hydrate yourself, and your sugar craving might just go away. And last but not the least, I think the secret really would be kind to yourself, in the sense of if you enjoy something sweet or desserts occasionally, it's absolutely not a failure. You're totally normal and it's allowed. And I think the sweet spot is to actually create a balance, enjoy naturally sweet food, keep added sugar with the emphasis on added sugar in check, and then nourish your brain with foods that will help you to thrive. So, when you think about food or a meal or a snack, think about how it would make me feel. Would it be, kind to my brain and my body? And you might think twice before you constantly put some sweets in your mouth.
And just a good point that you mentioned there is, have a glass of water if you're feeling maybe like something sweet, that might just change your mind's, change your mind a little bit about what it actually wants. Maybe it's, as you say, you were just thirsty and dehydrated, so you'll go for anything.
Because there is there is a confusion in the body sometimes when it comes to thirst and hunger. So, especially if you knew you had something decent to eat and you feel hungry, or maybe you crave that something sweet, the chance that that will be actually a signal for water is higher than it is a signal for food. So, in that scenario like that, rather go for the glass of water first, and then if all else fails, maybe grab overripe banana or a few raisins or whatever you might want to do.
not that slab of chocolate.
Maybe not the slab of chocolate. If you can stick to a block of two, I'm sure it's fine. But many people say, "Are you crazy? How can you stick to a block of two? I have to finish the whole one."
Well, you know, talking like that, you get one of the brands of chocolate. The wrapper is designed in such a way that you can reseal it. And that's I think awesome. To myself, why?
That would work for me.
You know, once the wrapper is open, there's absolutely no need to seal it again.
I like the idea of a resealable chocolate wrapper.
Yeah, I must admit, I've never used it.
You won't buy that brand.
No. Well, I've bought the brand. I've just never used the resealing function.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we joke about these things, but at the end of the day, you've got to, you know, by way of looking after your health, just be aware of what your body is trying to tell you.
Yeah, and I think scenarios like this is more like be mindful about it. Don't freak out. There's something you can do about it, and just start with one small change one day at a time, and before you know it, you have corrected your wrong habit. So yeah, you should not be discouraged to try something new.
Right. Well, that makes sense. So Netsi, if somebody wants to get hold of you, maybe they need a bit of guidance and they can make use of your services, how do they get in touch?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and looking forward to chatting next week, Thursday.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you then, Cheerio. That